Hello and welcome to The Crumb, a podcast from Bake From Scratch magazine. We're here to talk baking in all forms, the people, the culture, and the baked goods that make us run to preheat our oven. Hello and welcome to The Crumb. I'm Calgrace Mills, the managing editor at Bake From Scratch.
And I'm Trisha Manzanero-Studeman, the baking and pastry editor.
All right. So as you guys can all tell, that was not Brian. Brian is currently away handling our baking retreats in Paris. I know, so sad for him. But while he's away, we have Trisha, who is fabulous and one of my favorite people to work with at Bake From Scratch, to step in and make sure we don't miss a beat with podcasting. Trisha has been our baking and pastry editor for about a year, and you will know her from our Talk to Trish back page, where we have reader questions, and Trisha answers those and just uses her amazing scientific knowledge of baking and her excellent writing skills. I have to say, tip the hat. Like, she's always got great metaphors, perfect for people who need a visual, frankly, when it comes to baking, because it does help. But she is our just a fabulous worker, and you guys are going to love listening to her.
Oh, thanks, KG.
Of course. I live to work with great people, and you make my job easier, let's just be honest. So, got to give credit where credit's due. All right, so we're going to jump in and talk a little bit about our holiday baking plans before we introduce our guest for today's show. Trisha, what are you baking this year?
So definitely cookie crunch time. A lot of you probably feel the same way. So I love to make cookie boxes for all my family and friends each year. So one of my favorites are actually these pearl sugar ginger cookies. They are nicely spiced and chewy, but they have that special pearl sugar crunch on the outside. So they give it that extra holiday touch.
Yeah, I love that pearl sugar crunch. And if Brian was here, he would be just having way too much fun, because that's like one of his favorite cookies from that we've ever done.
Oh yeah, and pearl sugar in general. Let's just pearl sugar everything.
Yeah, he wants that to be like confetti thrown at, you know, my wedding in the future. So and I agree with them, that's a great thing to be
sounds
throwing,
like a
confetti.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will be baking this holiday season. I made our pumpkin cookie cake from September October orange feature, and it is an incredible recipe. And in fact, I was told by everybody that it was like top five cakes they've ever had in their life. And it has that German mousseline, like, cream, buttercream topping, which when these buttercreams are special because they're made with custard, and then you add, like, tons and tons and tons of butter. Like, it makes mm-hmm. 9 cups of frosting, probably has about 8 cups of butter in there. And, you know, I didn't tell my mom that right before she ate it, and that's why I made it out alive. She didn't need to know the butter content of that. But I'm going back to this kind of custard buttercream theme mm-hmm. again with this maple Karpatka, which is also in our September October issue. There's just something about that one that just had tons of fall feels, not giving any shade to our holiday one. That one's delicious too. But this maple dish, it's a pâte à choux recipe. So pâte à choux is what makes these cream puffs, mm-hmm. or like if you've seen a croquembouche made up of little cream puffs, that's pâte à choux. And you make that dough, split it, bake it in a, you know, sheet pan, and then you split that puffed up rectangle and fill it with maple mousseline cream. And again, that is a beautiful buttery custard deliciousness.
It's like Dutch baby pancake meets cream puff meets delicious mapley goodness. It is all the things.
Oh, the Dutch baby pancake is actually a perfect, you know, reference. That actually is exactly kind of what that texture is like. You know, in between spongy and light, but then you've got that just sea of maple mousseline. And again, mm-hmm. I love maple. I just love that flavor. And so does everybody else in my family, if they know what's good for them, because that's what they're getting for Christmas. But moving right along, today we are talking to Eleonora, who is a, you know, CNH sugar chef. So you're wondering, what is that? So CNH Sugar has these professional chefs who will test recipes and work with the sugar and work with the team to make sure that they give everybody amazing sugar products. And she works in their innovation team. And we're going to talk to her a little bit about, you know, the do's and don'ts with sugar, and as well as some of her creative ideas for you to bring to your holiday kitchen table. We're talking delicious drinks, amazing decorations, anything you want to know about sugar. Eleonora is going to help us out with this. So without further ado, let's bring on Eleonora. Hello, Eleonora, and welcome to The Crumb.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be talking to you this afternoon.
We are too, especially because, you know, we have a test kitchen here and we are always talking about testing recipes. And it's wonderful to be talking to somebody who does that, you know, over at CNH Sugar. And that's kind of how I want to kick it off, is we'd love to get a better insight in what you do as a day in the life of a CNH sugar chef. You know, what recipes do you work on? What do you have on your docket today?
Well, I have to say that since you work at a test kitchen, I think we share a passion for baking. I always tell people that people that do this, we do it, it's our passion, we love it, it's not a job, right? So it's going to play every day. So I do have a test kitchen like yours. I work at our innovation center, which is in Boca Raton, Florida. It's a beautiful building where we have not only our test kitchen, but we do have a group of food scientists, we have packaging engineers at our innovation center trying to innovate new things, all sugar related. So it's a fun team, and I have a beautiful kitchen that I work every day. So I come in, and a day in my life will be I work closely with other departments from the company, like marketing and sales. So we share ideas, and we decide which recipes do we want to develop. We talk about trends. We talk about customers. We work very closely with customers. So for holidays, we've been doing, I'm so excited that this is a holiday edition of The Crumb. We've been working very, very hard. At our kitchens, we try to be diverse with our recipes. We have recipes for beverages, for cookies, for cakes. We also do some savory. But we also try to cover different cultures, different countries. We do like to explore how people eat for the holidays, their customs, and we try to do something like that. So for the holiday, CNH Sugar, I've been developing Coquito. I don't know if you've heard of that beverage. It's from Puerto Rico. Beautiful, delicious. We've done some mulled wine, which you can drink at Christmas markets. It's very popular in Christmas markets in Europe, in Germany, in Austria. So we try to replicate that delicious mulled wine. We also bake tons of cookies. We've been baking polvorones. We've been baking traditional gingerbread cookies. And this is new on our website, but we have some brown sugar cookies that are just scrumptious. The traditional crinkle cookies that are out there. So we bake a lot. We bake a lot of cakes. We bake a lot of cookies. And it's so much fun. I really enjoy my job.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned mulled wine, because I just had a little trip to France for one of our baking retreats, and mm-hmm. I had some mulled wine at one of their Christmas markets. And the only thing, and I hope this, you know, isn't something that would happen with your recipe, but when you lean over, those fumes will get into you. I kept nearly fainting from the vapors, but I love mulled wine. I kept going back for more, obviously, but
listen, it's difficult when you do your job and you see other people at the office and you have rum bottles outside and wine bottles outside, and you have to try it because it's your job.
It is your job. It's your duty. And I also know that both Trisha and I are big fans of polvorones. We love those.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it's such a sacrifice, you know. You have to try them.
Yeah.
But you're totally speaking our language. I mean, when you get to cook and bake all day, it's like you never have to work a day in your life, really. And I know you covered so many recipes that you've done, but tough question, do you have like a top two or three recipes that you developed for CNH that you absolutely love?
Well, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm originally from El Salvador. I come from a family of bakers. I have more than 100 years of tradition in my family of bakers. And we just keep, you know, producing more bakers. Generation after generation, we're drawn into this business. So when I started working for the company and we're having a meeting with our marketing team, we were looking at some of the most popular recipes for CNH. And one of the most popular recipes for CNH sugar, it's a cheese pound cake that's traditional from El Salvador. I'm like, from El Salvador? I was so proud because it's an amazing cheese pound cake that is traditional from El Salvador. We also call it quesadilla. And it's delicious. So that's one of my favorite recipes on our website. But I was also working for the holidays this year with I developed an amazing pumpkin bread pudding. I can't stop making that. I brought it over to a gathering, and people were asking me, "Oh, can you make one for us?" And I'm like, "Well, a little bit easy, but you can go to a website and look for the recipe." And they're like, no. "We want for you to bake us the bread." They're like, no, try it. It's so easy to make, and it's going to turn out as delicious as mine. So that's one of my favorites. Cocktails, again, they're so good. We have watermelon margaritas. We just developed a tropical vodka cooler. So those are fun to develop. But for the holidays right now, I think my top one would be that pumpkin bread pudding. It's so good.
It sounds incredible. And I bet you're a really popular person around your family and friends.
And at the office, they all love me. I'm very popular.
So, I mean, speaking of the holidays, and obviously you have great recipes to choose from, but one of the most common things that come in around the holidays, at least for us in the baking business, are questions from our readers or listeners looking to know how to sidestep problems or figure out things. Is there a really common, you know, group of questions that you get from readers and just fundamentally understanding how sugar works in their baked goods, whether they actually need to do something? You know, have you answered any of these questions, and can you fill our listeners in onto like your top Q&A that you've had to answer?
I love this question because I consider myself a chef, but I also consider myself a teacher, an educator. As I said before, this is what we do all day. We are experts in sugar. We know a lot about sugar. So it's a passion to share our knowledge, to share what we know about sugar, and that sugar is not only sugar. It's not only an ingredient that you use to sweeten your baked goods. The functionality of sugar goes beyond the sweetness. Bakers and chefs would agree with me that we would use sugar even if it wasn't sweet, because it provides other properties for a cake, on a cake, on a cookie, texture, color, aroma, flavor, so many other shelf life, so many other functions that sugar provides. And you cannot replace sugar. It's one ingredient, that it's a multifunctional ingredient, provides many, many functions. So we have common questions are, how do we use, right? We have an array of sugars in our portfolio. We have some powdered sugar to baker's special, the brown sugar, light brown, dark brown. That is a very common question, for example, that we receive. There are recipes that call for brown sugar. So we get questions if the recipe calls for brown sugar, do you use light or do you use dark? The question is, most recipes out there that just call for brown sugar. Usually it's light brown that they're calling for. But if you want to go for a more robust flavor, that darker color, you can always go with the dark brown sugar. They also ask questions about, for example, our baking sugar, CNH, it's a good example, that has a smaller granulation. That's a beautiful product because it's especially for, we call it for bakers, because it dissolves faster in your batter. And why is that important? Because you'll get a finer, better crumb, you'll get more volume. If you're making meringues, for example, it's going to dissolve faster. So we get those type of questions, how to use our sugars and what's the difference between them. Those are the most common questions.
Yeah, I love you mentioning the finer sugar, because I know we have used that before for our meringues, and it does make a much easier experience, because meringue is already can be a little bit of a tough show here in Alabama, where we have so much humidity. And of course, you're in Florida. I'm sure you know, living out of these swampy areas.
Yes.
But, you know, you need everything to go your way, because most of the time the weather isn't going your way. And that like finer sugar, you know, really helps make the process go smoother.
It does. And as we know, as bakers, we know that baking is not like cooking. And I tell these to people all the time, my sister especially, because she's like, oh, we're going to add a little more of that. And I'm like, no. Baking is chemistry. You cannot alter that formula. You have to make it exactly as it says. So when you have a little help from those sugars that perform exactly the way you want for that specific recipe, you just can tell the difference. Sugar is not just sugar. If you apply the correct sugar to different recipes, you'll see the difference. Like, for example, meringues, I completely agree with you. Humidity can be, it is terrible.
It really is.
For a meringue.
We have this joke in our test kitchen.
And for our hair.
We say that every time we try to develop a meringue recipe, there's like a hurricane outside. Always that extra element. So that's fine,
yes,
sugar.
Of course.
Yeah, no, we have definitely had tropical storms come our way. Like meringue essential shoot, I believe, 2020. Oh, gosh.
Getting to more specifics, we have a reader question for you. They say that they are baking sugar cookies for the holidays. They say most recipes that they encounter just say to combine the butter and sugar, but this particular recipe says to cream the butter and sugar. So what's the difference, and is it really necessary that they cream the butter and sugar?
Well, that's a great question, and the answer is it depends. So what is the difference between combining butter and sugar and creaming? So when you're combining, you're doing that, combining your sugar and your butter. It may be a recipe that calls for butter that's melted, and you're just combining a butter with sugar. When the recipe calls for creaming, that means that you have butter and sugar, and you're going to beat that butter with the objective of incorporating air into that mixture. And here's a good example of functionality of sugar beyond sweetness. The sugar crystal cuts into the butter, creating a very small little tiny bubbles of air. And that will, the recipe will continue, beat until light and fluffy, which I'm sure that you ladies write this sentence a thousand
yes.
times a year, because we always want it light and fluffy. The reason it's light and fluffy after you're beating it, it's because you're incorporating air. And what's happening when you're incorporating air, when the recipe calls for creaming, you will have a cookie or a cake that is lighter. It's not as dense, so it will be lighter, probably have more volume, because baking powder or baking soda will interact with all the rest of the ingredients in your recipe and will release gas. and that gas will be stored in those little bubbles. So you'll have a cookie with a final crumb, and it will have different characteristics as a recipe that just combines sugar and butter, which can be more dense, let's put it that way. A brownie is a good example. In a brownie, you're not looking for volume or air incorporation. You're looking for that dense texture. So that's a good example why some recipes call just combine and some recipes call for creaming.
Perfect answer. That is exactly, you know, what I would hope we would say, but you said it much more elegantly. I won't lie. I have to write that down about 12 times and then cross out 5 words and then tell people exactly what I'm trying to say. But you're an excellent teacher. I have to say that right now.
Thank you.
And I mean, I think when we're talking about a sugar cookie, like as opposed to maybe some chocolate chip cookies, which can definitely be more dense, or like a thin cookie you're trying to get that has like a crisp, like biscuity texture to it. And I mean, British biscuity, not our Southern biscuitiness. Mm-hmm. But when you have like a sugar cookie, I think that you want the loftiness and the chewiness that kind of comes from that creaming rather than a kind of thinner cookie that you would get without kind of combining the two things.
Correct.
All right, and now we're going to test your, you know, innovation side of your job, and we want to know, you know, some of these creative uses for sugar in the holiday season. You know, what have you discovered, you know, this year and previous years that are some really fun ways for bakers to use sugar for decoration or design, you know, that they may not have tried before, and this should be the holidays that they figure it out and use it?
Well, you have an advantage on me because your magazine has those beautiful sugar cranberries, right, on that cake for the holidays. So that's one that I love, to sugar fruits like cranberries. They look like jewels. Cranberries are very popular, but I make a very simple cake, like this, a vanilla cake, any recipe that you have, and either make some meringue or some buttercream, and I love to sugar grapes of different colors. So you arrange that. For example, if it's a bun cake, you arrange the sugar grapes in the middle, and it looks so elegant and decadent. And it's really a simple procedure, a simple stepping up your cake, sugaring those. Fruits. They look beautiful. We also, our test kitchen, we've been using a lot of demerara sugar for syrups. It's very popular to put it in your coffee or in your tea. We've been developing syrups with the demerara sugar, like a simple syrup. But the flavors that you get from that demerara, they're like butterscotch and vanilla flavors. They're delicious. So we're making syrups. You can use them for pancakes or waffles, Christmas morning. You can also put a vanilla bean in there and maybe gift them with beautiful bottles. That's something that I love. What else do we have creative uses? Oh, infused sugars. I love botanicals. Are very trendy right now, very, very trendy. And I love to infuse our sugars with lavender or hibiscus, do some lemon or orange zest there. You keep your sugar, and then you can use it with tea or coffee, and you can also prepare a very simple pound cake with these botanicals, and they'll just be like stepping up your game. It's just beautiful. also seen out there. I don't know if you've seen it. Some igloos that they're making from sugar cubes.
That's so, yeah, no, that's
very,
perfect.
Very creative.
I love like yes. all of your ideas. First of all, I'm super excited about the idea of grapes. I've never thought of that. Not to mention that they all come in those different colors, so it actually does kind of have the kaleidoscopic effect. But I'm particularly excited about the demerara for simple syrup. So many of our recipes for cakes use a simple syrup, you know, to kind of keep the layers moist before we add on the, buttercream. And it's just, I love demerara in my coffee, but I haven't thought to melt it down. And all those beautiful, it's caramel colored and it's, you know, got that caramel taste. Adding that to my simple syrup would just be amazing.
You'll be delighted. When we started trying it, it was just, you don't go back. All those flavors are so, so amazing that you don't go back. And I have to say something. We should start encouraging people to bake with brown sugar, either light brown or dark brown cakes. You may have to compromise a little bit of the volume of your cake, but the flavor in a brown sugar cake, they're just amazing. And they're simple. You don't have to dress it up a lot because just the flavors, it's, as I said, caramel flavors, butterscotch, some vanilla hints. They're amazing.
I mean, I think the best cake I ever had or made was a cake that used a turbinado base that you creamed it with the butter and sugar. I had never used that sugar. It was back when I was like 10 or 11, and I saw this recipe, and I had never used that sugar before, and I made it, and it was a strawberry cake, and I just thought it was so unusual, and it really did. It had that complex flavor that just went so beautifully with the fruit, and I've been converted to baking, of course, but, you know, that sugar ever since.
Yes.
Kind of sounds like we're going to make a brown sugar cake with a demerara simple syrup on it.
Yes. You know, copyright.
Yeah,
C&H and bake from scratch. Yeah.
Yes.
See, we love the collaboration.
Yes, the partnership, right? As we are.
This is where we steal all of our great ideas for the podcast. I won't lie. Brian and I have mined this many, many times. So
we're going to quickly step
I
out.
I have to tell you something, Beth.
Go ahead.
It's one of my favorite things to collaborate with bakers because we just have so many ideas that it's impossible to stop your mind, right?
Especially when we get excited, for sure.
But honestly, we could just talk about it all day.
Right.
So we're going to quickly...
We could.
We're just going to quickly take you outside of the test kitchen now and going to ask you, what are you planning to make for your family this holiday season?
They love that I bake. They love my job as much as I do. So we've been baking already. I come from work, and my daughter is 18, so you'll think that she doesn't want baking around. She's waiting for me to bake. So what I do when I put my mom's hat, I make cookies for her and her friends. I usually do every year gingerbread cookies for them. So I make the dough, I cut the cookies, I put them in the baking sheets all ready to go. Put them in the refrigerator. It's the same day. It's not in the freezer. And then when they're home, they pull them up and they bake them. And they believe and they say that they made gingerbread cookies. And then they just decorate. But that smell of gingerbread around the house, I absolutely love it. I know it's very traditional, but that's what we love, the tradition with our family members. I'm a firm believer that all your senses, when you're baking, all your senses are awakened, right? Because it's your hands and the smell and where you're looking at it. And those smells, they make memories. I was baking something one day and I was in my kitchen. And as I told you before, my mom, I come from a family of bakers, so she's a baker. And I was making something, and just the smell of that, tears came down my eyes. And I'm not lying here. immediately. I don't live close to my mom. She still lives in El Salvador. So I said, Mom, just the smell of what I'm making right now, it's reminding me of you. And I was crying because I missed her so much. So that's why I try to do it with my daughter when she's now gingerbread, to remember me. That's what we do. That's how we bond. So that's why I've been doing that. But I plan for, I celebrate Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So for Christmas Eve here at my home, we have a beautiful, elegant cranberry cheesecake on our website. Please go. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's easy to make, and it's so elegant. It's a two-layer cheesecake. I think I may serve that for Christmas Eve with the people that they're coming over. And Christmas Day, I think I'm going to make some cranberry scones for breakfast. So that's my plan now, for now. Oh, and some coquito. I have to drink that coquito. So that's delicious.
Well, I think you really touched on something that makes sense of why the holidays, why do we make such a big fuss about baking during the holidays? And I think it really does go back to us spending time with our loved ones. And, you know, usually that was a memory, you know, for something or someone to remember making cookies or enjoying cookies from a family member or having it brought to them by a relative they never see. And I think that there's something about where our food relationship to holidays are so strong. And so it's, of course, kind of become holiday season becomes baking season for a lot of people because food is so entrenched in celebration. And then these memories also come up as well. And it's so lovely to have them and triggered by the smell and the senses that you have.
Yes, and it does something to your soul. Because you're being generous, not with the goodies that you're preparing, but with your soul. And I encourage people, because I people that buy our sugar, people that read your magazine, they're all different levels, right, of the baking expertise. Some are very new, they want to try it, and some are real experts. So for those people, those readers and our customers that they're afraid, I always encourage people, try it. Try it. It doesn't matter if you make a mistake. Actually, I like mistakes because you learn from them. And I tell people, I share all the time. I'm a professional. I've been doing this for years, over 20 years, working as a professional, reading every day. I have a collection of books. And I go into that kitchen, and I sometimes make mistakes. And you know, right? When it comes out, you know exactly what you did wrong, but you make mistakes. I encourage people to try it over and over again, to feel the joy, and eventually you master that recipe, and you're so happy, and you feel so accomplished. So that feeling is great. And it's a few ingredients, right? It's not a lot of money. It's a few ingredients. If you have to throw it away, you throw it away. But it's the learning, it's the journey. So I encourage people to give it a try. I'm also the stylist for our the picture that's on our website. We style them and we take the pictures at our innovation center, and they look beautiful, those pictures. But even if your cake doesn't turn out as beautiful as you see in the magazine, your family and the people you're baking for, they're going to absolutely love it. So I encourage people to do it. Even if you're at the beginning stages of baking, you're just going to get better.
Gosh, you are getting everybody ready. Your words of encouragement and then your speech on the generosity of the soul. I think that's a beautiful way to describe, you know, cooking and baking for others. Even though you get great joy from it yourself, it is a sharing of a soulful passion with your loved ones.
It is.
Well, thank you so much, Eleanor, for speaking with us today. We have had so many ideas and exciting things to be pondering as soon as we get out of here, this podcasting, and start playing with some turbinado and demerara sugar syrups. That's just what's on my mind, personally.
On that brown sugar cake, you're going to love it. I hope we can visit sometime. I go to Alabama or you come here to Florida. I'm sure we could have so much fun together.
Yes, and we can have matching very, very frizzy hair from the humidity, because I promise the humidity is not kind to my hair as well. Thanks again, Eleanor. Talk soon.
Thank you so much. Take care and happy holidays.
I've got so many ideas now for like the different sugar combinations I can do and play with. She's got me really like jazzed and excited to try new things in the holidays, even though I know you have to have a game set plan when you go into the holidays. You can't mess with the, you know, formula.
Oh, yeah. I love the look of pure shock and horror when she said that, oh, we can just add a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I mean, we're like, as bakers, we definitely feel that terror when someone else says that. But I just love the joy and the happiness and the passion that she has. I mean, you could feel it coming right through the phone. And that's really what we love to hear and love to talk about.
Yeah. And I think that it is, it's bakers are like need our support group for uptight, but giving compassionate people, like, yeah, you can't add, you know, an extra tablespoon of this or that into our thing, but we love you and we made this for you the way it was intended, aka how the recipe told me to make it. Well, thank you guys again for listening to another episode of The Crumb. Thank you for listening to our inaugural episode with Trisha, who you will be hearing more of. And don't worry, soon you'll get to hear Brian in the new year. Until then, happy holidays and happy baking.
If you liked our podcast, please rate, subscribe, and tell a friend about us. To keep up with all of our baking endeavors, follow our editor-in-chief and co-host, Brian, on Instagram at Brian Hart Hoffman. You can follow Bake From Scratch on Instagram at The Bake Feed. For online recipes and fresh baking content, go to our website, bakefromscratch.com, and sign up for our newsletter, Preheat. Finally, for in-real-life baking inspiration, grab our magazine on newsstands, or subscribe through our website.